Now, the scriptures don't tell us much about Elizabeth. Elizabeth is one of the many women in the Bible who just gets a passing mention. We just get a little sliver of a glimpse into her life. But in the first chapter of Luke, that's everything that we know about Elizabeth, all there in one chapter. So if we look in the first chapter of Luke, a little bit before today's scripture, we learn her backstory a little bit. We learn first that Elizabeth is a descendant of Aaron. Aaron, of course, for all of you people who have been in Bible study, Aaron, you know, was the brother of Moses. And so we know that for Elizabeth to be descended from Aaron, we know that she was a descendant of that priestly family, the family that was the priests of Israel. And I'm guessing it ran in the family a little because, you know, Elizabeth grew up to marry a priest as well. She married Zechariah, the priest. And Luke tells us that even though they were both righteous before God, he says they were living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. What an introduction, by the way. Living righteously according to every single commandment, all 600 of them. Luke says, even though they were righteous before God, they had never been able to have children. So the text tells us that Elizabeth was barren and that she and Zechariah were getting old. Now, I want to pause right here because this is quite a way to introduce a woman to us, is it not? The thing that gets me about this introduction is that it just gives Elizabeth a description of her circumstances. Did you notice that? She's a wife, she's a not yet mother, and she's a descendant of Aaron. We don't get her personality, we don't get her interests, we don't get her hobbies, we get her roles. She's wife, wishes to be a mother, and she's a descendant of Aaron. But what strikes me about Elizabeth as we continue reading is that Elizabeth doesn't let her circumstances continue to define her. What catches our imagination about this story is not her circumstances, it's the way that she claims her own agency before God. See, because Elizabeth knows that the most important thing about her life is not her circumstances or her roles. Elizabeth knows that the most important thing about her life is her faith and how God is moving in her life. I want to look back at verses 24 and 25. This is before what Gwen read for us this morning. In verse 24, this is picking up right after Zechariah comes out of the temple and tells everybody about the prophecy. It says, afterwards, after Zechariah had his whole experience, afterward, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant. She kept to herself for 5 months, saying, "This is the Lord's doing. He has shown his favor to me by removing my disgrace among other people." Elizabeth finally gets what she's been praying for. Do you notice that? I bet she'd been praying for her whole adult life to get pregnant. And she finally gets what she's been praying for. And she keeps it to herself. She keeps silent. She holds on to it in her heart for 5 months. Now, the silence of Elizabeth might not really catch our attention. It could just be a little detail that could pass us by. Except that it catches my attention because I have the worst time keeping secrets for any length of time whatsoever. My sweet husband, I will buy him a gift maybe in the fall if something's on sale or I see something and I think, oh, that's the perfect thing to get my husband. I just have to, that'll be his Christmas present this year. So, you know, I'll pick it up and I'll put it in the attic. Maybe if I'm feeling ambitious, I'll wrap it in wrapping paper early so he doesn't know what it is if he runs into it. And I'll put it in the shelf somewhere so it'll be ready for Christmas. But I keep remembering that present that I've gotten for him. And so by mid-November, certainly by Thanksgiving, I have this itchy feeling like I just want him to open this present already. And so by the time Thanksgiving is over, I'm just so excited to give him this thing that's going to be the perfect present ever. And I'm so excited to give it to him that I just can't hold it in anymore. The number of years Matthew has opened a present a month early because I can't hold it in. That man, he deals with me. But I am so excited every year about the joy that I know that is coming that I can't keep it to myself. And it's because of that impulse in me that I see Elizabeth's choice to wait and keep it to herself as a really powerful decision. This woman, this faithful woman, this woman who keeps every commandment and law of God, she has been praying her whole life to have a child, and she's finally gotten it, and she keeps it to herself. This is after she's probably past menopause, after she's resigned herself to just have other roles in her extended family. The impossible has happened, and she chooses to keep it to herself. I find myself wondering what she thought about over those 5 months, because 5 months is a long time to keep anything to yourself, much less a pregnancy when you're beginning to show by then. I wonder why Elizabeth chose to be quiet and to keep it to herself for 5 months. I wonder if she was worried maybe about losing the baby in those first few months. I wonder maybe if she was just such a faithful woman that she wanted to just hold on to that promise of God in her heart and just pray on that and just hold that like a sweet secret to herself. I wonder if maybe she had doubts. I wonder if maybe through the months she thought, okay, this surely has to be something I'm imagining. Did I dream this all up? Maybe it's not real. 5 months is a long time to keep it to yourself. And I bet she felt all of those things, doubt and faith and fear, in those 5 months. And through it all, I bet she comforted herself with this confession of faith that Luke records for us, how Elizabeth said to herself, "This is the Lord's doing. He has shown his favor to me." Some translation said his grace to me. "He has shown his grace to me by removing my disgrace among other people." That's quite a confession of faith in a time of waiting. See, Elizabeth could have been defined by her circumstances, married, pregnant, old, wife, soon to be mother. But instead, she chooses to be defined by her faith. And it continues on in today's text when Elizabeth welcomes Mary into her home. Luke says that Elizabeth is Mary's relative. You know, sometimes we translate that cousin, it could be translated kinsman, so we don't know the exact relationship. But I love this picture of these two women greeting one another, because I think of Elizabeth almost as like that older auntie who's like taking Mary under her wing, welcoming her into her home. You know, and so Elizabeth is welcoming Mary into her home in our scripture text today. But I bet she was still feeling that whole mixture of feelings. You know, she kept it to herself for 5 months. And the text says that at the 6th month, that's when the angel came to visit Mary, and Mary went to see Elizabeth. So it's only been public a couple weeks when Mary comes to Elizabeth's home. Maybe Elizabeth was feeling shy about it or nervous about talking about it. I don't know if this happens to you, but do you ever have something good that's about to happen, but you don't want to say it out loud too much because you're like knocking on wood everywhere, hoping that it doesn't jinx it if you say it out loud? I wonder if Elizabeth felt that way, like, "Oh, I really hope this will really come to happen." But if Elizabeth had any doubts at all, I know that those doubts were put to rest the moment that Mary appeared in her home. Because when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, Luke says the child leaped within her womb. Leaped within her womb. Now, I confess, I have never been pregnant, so I don't know what it's like to have a baby leap inside of you or to kick inside of you. But I've seen it 1,000 times in TV shows, and I've spent some time over the last couple weeks talking to some of our new moms here at the church, asking them, what was that like? And I know from talking to them that it was a sensation like no other. One of our moms said to me, "You know, the first time the baby kicks, everything gets really real." She said, "You realize this is really happening. This is a permanent thing that we have done. There is a live human in there. waiting to be born. She told me that after the first kicks, every time the baby would kick, she would say a little prayer of gratitude. She'd be grateful because every kick meant a healthy child growing inside her. The baby kicks, she said the baby kicks were the best part of pregnancy. She said nothing's better than those baby kicks other than holding the baby for the first time. And this is my language, that they're the best because it's the wonder of new life. The wonder of new life. That's the wonder that Elizabeth must have felt when Mary greeted her and baby John just leaped inside of her womb. This is not just a simple excitement, right? This is not just the excitement of announcing a pregnancy. And it's not even the excitement of being pregnant at the same time as somebody that you love and sharing that experience. This is even bigger. The text says that the child leaped inside her womb and that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke says that she was so filled. I love this. This is why we read the Common English Bible today, because it says she was so filled that with a loud voice she blurted out, "God has blessed you among all women, and he has blessed the child you carry. Why do I have this honor that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as I heard your greeting," Elizabeth says, "the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Happy is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill the promises he made to her." This is a powerful word, a word that can only come out of being filled with that kind of wonder and filled with the Holy Spirit. This, if you'll notice for a moment, this is a word of prophecy. Do you see where it says, "Why do I have this honor that the mother of my Lord," the mother of my Lord, Elizabeth, it turns out, is the first one to recognize that Jesus is Lord. She's the first one to see the wonder of what is happening in Mary, not just that she is conceived, but that this is Jesus, the Lord. It's a word of prophecy that Elizabeth has spoken through the Holy Spirit, that Jesus is Lord. It's also a word of blessing. Remember the Beatitudes that Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are they, happy are they. That's what this is. Happy is she who believed. Some translations say, blessed is she who believed. This is a beatitude, a blessing that Elizabeth gives to Mary to say, you are blessed because you have believed what God has promised to you. Finally, this is a word of wonder. It's a word of wonder that could only happen through the power of the Spirit. Because Elizabeth is so full of joy in this moment that she just blurts it out. Do you know somebody who just blurts things out when they notice them? Elizabeth just blurts it out because she's so full of joy and wonder that she cannot help but let it out and name what God is doing in her and in Mary and in their midst. When was the last time you felt that kind of wonder? When was the last time you felt that kind of joy filling you? When was the last time you were so full of God's presence that you couldn't help but say something about it? You know, every year as Christmas approaches, we each fight to recapture the sense of wonder that we felt as children, maybe that you felt when your children were young. And it can be so hard to enter into this season with wonder. You know, between the shopping lists, I know you all have them, between those shopping lists and your baking lists and your to-do lists, and I'm sure you all have activities on the calendar and invitations on the fridge. You know, it can be hard to enter into that slow sense of wonder. And maybe, for some of you, maybe it's even hard to enter into the story of Jesus' birth with wonder. After all, you've probably heard this story once a year your entire life. And so I wouldn't blame you if you said, "Oh, Carissa, what could the preacher possibly have to say about this story again that I haven't heard before?" It can be hard. It can be hard to recapture the sense of wonder year after year. And yet I believe that we all long to be swept up in that wonder, the wonder of Christmas, the wonder, as the song says, the wonders of his love. So that's why we work so hard to recreate joy-filled memories of childhood. You know, we bake cutout cookies and we hang whimsical lights everywhere. And we do all manner of things just to recapture the wonder of it all, the magic of Christmas. We all want to feel that again, like the three-year-old I know who walked into our fellowship hall and just stood in front of the angel tree and said, "Wow, that is beautiful." We want to feel that kind of wonder again. When was the last time you let yourself feel the wonder of it all? When was the last time you let your heart be moved by the wonder of what God is doing in our world? This week, I want to encourage you to live like Elizabeth. Whatever part of her story speaks to you, I want to encourage you to live more like Elizabeth. Maybe you're identifying with Elizabeth in the beginning of Luke, you know, when Elizabeth is defined by her circumstances. For her, the circumstances are wife, mother, descendant of Aaron. What do you add to that list? Maybe you're also wife and mother. Maybe you also have a busy employee or hosting everybody for the holidays. Whatever your circumstances are, whatever you'd add to that list, if you feel defined by your circumstances this week, I want to encourage you to live more like Elizabeth. Know that your circumstances are not the most important thing about you. The most important thing about you is what God is doing in you. So live like Elizabeth. Claim your own agency. Choose silence when you need to contemplate in your heart what God is doing. Choose joy when you need to celebrate what God is doing. And slow down to notice how God is working. Or maybe you feel like second trimester Elizabeth, who I think was just going nuts waiting for her husband to be able to talk again. Do you think that might be the case? Second trimester Elizabeth, who's just waiting and waiting. Are you waiting on the promise of God today? What is it that you're waiting for? What is it that you're praying for, that you're hoping for? If you're in that time of anxious anticipation with Elizabeth, I want to encourage you to learn from her. Even in the time of waiting, to claim the joy that is in front of you. Even in that time of hoping and praying through the doubts and fears, listen to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit work in you. Speak the truth of what God is doing. Friends, the good news in our word today is that wonder is not out of our reach. Wonder is not just restricted to childhood. This week, this Christmas, I pray that you will encounter the Holy Spirit in a powerful way. I pray that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit from deep in your belly. And I pray that your eyes will be opened to wonder and that your heart will be full of joy. Thanks be to God.